Hallelujah. You may be seated. And I remember a couple of years ago, 17 years ago to be exact, when I went to one of my friend's churches and I sort of got the way wrong. And I ended up with this little group of people, about 25 people. They call themselves Shofar. I'll never forget it because I was shocked. I thought, now who on earth are these people? And Fred was preaching that night, and then I'll never forget it. I went up for the altar call afterwards, and he prayed a life-giving word over me, which established me because it just confirmed God's word over my life that God has been speaking for many years. And in these 17 years, it's amazing. And I think that's one of the things that God has blessed us with as a church is just that ability to want to hear His voice. And that is precious to us. And we just want to honor Fred and Lucille for being faithful. You know, I was thinking this week that we have not had one church split. We've had not one people walking off and doing their own thing or whatever while all across the body of Christ. And obviously, it's just the grace of God. But God is doing something special. And that's why we can be proud of what God is doing in this church. Amen. Hello, amen. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your word that gives light and life. And we come, Lord, to submit ourselves to your word because it's only your word that can change us, Lord. Not man's opinion, not because we want to feel good or we want to. No, Lord, it's really just your testimony and your presence in our lives. And tonight we pray that everything, Lord, that stands in the way will just crumble. Will just disappear. Every veil, every wall, every resistance. Lord, we want to be like that candle. Holy Spirit, you be the flame. Let us melt before you tonight. Like wax melts, Lord. Let us melt. Let our hearts melt, Lord. As Holy Spirit and Jesus, we invite you just to come and walk through us and touch every person like only you can do, Lord. We just bless you for your faithfulness. Bless you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I'm going to share two stories and then we're going to get into the word. I'm going to talk a bit about the testimony of Jesus tonight. Now, for some of you, you've heard this 30 times. But tonight I'm not talking to our heads. I'm really trusting that something that God has done in my heart and just the desire that God will do the same in your life tonight because God is faithful. The other day, about 4 weeks ago, I was on the there where the airplanes fly away. What do they call that? Airport. On the airport. And so we were standing there for a moment. I lost the place. I was flying somewhere. Okay, but I was standing there and I was thinking about this whole thing about God's presence with us. The fact that God is always with us, that He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. So I was praying about this and I was thinking, Lord, what is the value of your presence? Or why? I obviously sometimes take it for granted, just the fact that you are with me and that you're with us. You're Emmanuel with us. So we were standing there. There was another guy, Dante, and I. We were busy chatting. And the next moment, this man came walking past. And he came at quite a speed, this little chubby man, one of our brothers up in Africa. And he was walking up. He was walking like this. And the next moment, he was like, he was just like stopping like this. Then he turned around and he came straight to me and he said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I'm a Christian. He said, are you a pastor? I said, yes, I'm in the ministry. So because as I walked by, I just felt the presence of God so tangible that I couldn't walk, take another step. And then God just directed me. Now, this guy phones me every second day. Now, he's from a pastor from Uganda. And just in 3 weeks' time, we've become good friends. He just wants me to come over there and all of that stuff. But, you know, I'm still shocked. I don't know the man. But something supernaturally has drawn this man to me, which is not me, but the presence of God in my life. And I've had a couple of experiences like that since I've been praying that. And the other day, I was just driving. And I was thinking, I was saying, Lord, so many times I try to worship in my head. But God, I want to feel you tangibly. And the next moment, the Holy Spirit came into the car and I couldn't drive any further. I stopped next to the road and I was weeping and sobbing like a baby. And I was thinking, well, you know, probably if somebody drives past, they will think, "Oh my God, what happened to this man? You know, you got some bad, you know, news or anything." But I just felt the presence of God just come into the car, and I just, the first reaction was just to worship God, was just to give myself to Him, was just to open up, because of just a hunger for His presence. And then I started to read the book of Acts again, and I started to realize that our most valuable thing that we have is the ability to hear God's voice and His presence with us. And we should never take that for granted. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, about the testimony of Jesus tonight. Because so many times we are busy with lots of stuff around Jesus, but we're not busy with Jesus Himself. And God is beginning to shift the goalposts, and God is beginning to challenge us about this thing, about the testimony of Jesus. Are you ready to go? Hello. Okay. There are two questions. I think if we know the answer to these questions, we would all be at peace. But the world out there is struggling to find answers to these two questions. And the first one is, who am I? And the second one is, why am I here? If you know who I am, and obviously who you are will just be defined by something. Something will define you. Either your circumstances or the place where you live or the culture that you're in. So many things define us. So if you understand who you are, and secondly, why you are here in this time, at this place, maybe studying or working, whatever you're doing, if you can have like a one sentence answer to those two questions, I think most of us will be at peace and we'll just say, okay, let's go for it. You know, we won't run around, try to be, wear stuff like, what is this woman, Lady Gaga? I don't know why they call Lady Gaga. That's not a good name. But in any case, some people have, you know, people want to wear stuff like and do, and then you think, oh, my God, you know, then the whole world runs to that place and they try that, because so many people try to just get this simple question answered. Who am I? Hello, who am I and why am I here? So let's go to the New Testament in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, say great grace, was upon them all. Now, we've spoken a lot about grace this year, and it's amazing what God has been doing in our hearts. But Scripture says here that there was a testimony, there was a witness of these apostles, and they witnessed of one thing. They had a daily, abundant resurrection life in Christ. That was what they witnessed about. You know, it's easy just to talk about Jesus and a historic Christ and somebody that has lived long before. But they witnessed of something specifically. They spoke about the resurrection. And, you know, you cannot speak about the resurrection unless there is daily evidence of that resurrection life and power in our lives. And this is what is beautiful about what we see in Scripture, is that daily life, that daily living with God. I told the story this morning of the morning, and I think I told it probably about 30 times, but it's one of those defining moments in my life. You know, I worshipped Reinhard Bunker for quite a while in my life, about 2 or 3 years. He was like just under Jesus, just close to Jesus, you know, because I just wanted to learn from this guy and all of that stuff. And you know, you get these guys and then you just read all of their books. And so here I had the opportunity to sit in Nigeria, just five of us around a breakfast table. And so, wow, I'm thinking, yes, this is it, you know. We're going to prove something, and hallelujah, this is now my connection to this man, you know. And then he's going to see something, and probably, you know, he's going to lay hands on me, and like, what, you know, I'm going to be changed, and ooh, I'm going to see the angels or whatever, you know. So as we finished, we were going to pray for the crusade that evening. It was quite a small crusade. There were only like 800,000 to a million people there that night. It was quite small. So now as we were sitting there, he asked me, he said, "You pray. Will you pray?" And I thought, whoa. Now, when somebody like that asks you to pray, you know, when the pastor or somebody, we always have got this idea that that guy is like super spiritual. You know, we sort of put the people sometimes on a pedestal. And don't ever do that, okay? Don't put somebody here on the pedestal, because we're going to fail you. Put Jesus on the pedestal of your life. Hallelujah. That was a good place to say amen. Okay? Jesus is the one we worship. But so here was my turn to pray. I said, "You pray." Now I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking through all the Bible school stuff. What is the right way to pray? You know, you want to really show yourself as super spiritual. So I said, Lord, thank you that you are here. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your fire come from it. Now I'm thinking, I know he's a passionate man, so I must pray passionately, you know. So I stand up and I say, bring your fire down, Lord. Let your fire rain. Lord, shake. Let the spiritual, you know, bring a spiritual earthquake, you know. So I'm praying all this stuff. And right in the middle of the prayer, I just hear these words. No, we don't pray like that. I'm thinking, is it the angel speaking? Is it? So he interrupted me in the middle of my prayer, you know. And he said, no. We don't pray like that. We don't ask the Holy Spirit to fall down because the Holy Spirit is already here. And that changed my life because I realized lots of my praying has been, oh, Lord God, be with me. Be with us as we go and do something. And the Lord said, no, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that evening, I saw evidence of God's manifest raw power. Because you know what Umrena did? Took a piece of paper as he stood there and he said, God is going to heal some people now. Now, in front of this massive crowd, and then he starts to read the sicknesses out. He says, paralyzed people in the name of Jesus, be healed, you know. And then he stands just quiet, silent there for a moment. No tension or psyching himself up. And then the next moment, you hear the screaming in the crowd starting from that side as we're sitting facing the crowd. And then the wheelchairs start to jump up. And then as the hand of God moves over this crowd and the presence of God comes over, the wheelchairs just pop up and the crutches just pop up. People get healed. And he just stands there. And God's hand goes and he just waits for God's hand to move across the crowd. And when God's finished, then he reads the next one. He says, tuberculosis, go. And lots of people there all across the place. And then he reads the next one. You know? And then you sit there amazed. No sentiment, no hike up emotional stuff. Just raw authority. Because he understands the presence of God. And I told this morning, as you're waiting for him to go to these crusades, it's the most amazing experience. You stand there, and then the pastor says to you, because he spent like 5 hours in the, you know, just worshiping God after lunch. And then about 6 o'clock the evening, we drive. And I'll never forget that moment. As we were standing by the car, probably about an hour and a half, because you never know when he's going to come out. You just sort of wait there. And all the army people are standing there, whole convoy. The next moment, you feel the presence of God. And it's not like a spooky thing. You just feel God's tangible presence. And you know that he's just come, Reinhard has come out of his room. He's walking down the corridor. He's coming down the stairs. And you know he's going to come through. And then as the seconds go by, you can feel the presence of God with him tangibly. And as he walks out the door, you jump into the car. You say, okay, on a mission, you know. But the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, because that's something that he understands and something that has really challenged me. Because I've prayed wrongly. So many years I've prayed, oh, Lord, please, if you are somewhere out there, far away, Lord, you know, from a distance. No. What the other is that song goes? You know, God is maybe going to whack something from the heavens there. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later tonight. Are you with me? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, shake your neighbor and say, we are going somewhere tonight. Fasten your seatbelt. We're going somewhere. Okay, in Revelation chapter 12, a scripture we all know very well, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. We love to quote the first part, but the second part says very simply, if we want to have the testimony of Jesus, if we want to see that resurrection life, we need to die. It's as simple as that. They did not love their lives even unto death. So when you understand the blood of Jesus and the testimony of the blood of Jesus and the testimony that God wants to raise in your life, there's resurrection life. That's the people that will overcome in the last days. That's the people that Revelation talks about. The people that are going to see Jesus come. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. But the real scripture that I want to get to is a bit further in Revelations. Because here we see a massive encounter of John riding on the Isle of Patmos with Jesus. And I'm not going to teach about it because I must be honest with you that I don't understand the scripture 100%. I'm just going to share with you what God has shown me. Because there are lots of people, I've read a lot about this weekend and all the commentaries. Everybody says something different, but I'm going to just share a little bit out of this, what God has shared with me. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. This is now John. It says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude." Now I've got a bit of an imagination. A great multitude. You must picture this now. Masses and masses of people. "As the sound of many waters, like the rumbling of waters. And as the sound of mighty thunderings, like thunder." I don't know if you were there the other night when the thunder struck here in Stellenbosch, you know. You see the light and then a little bit later you'd come down. Now the Gautengers, they can tell us a lot about thunderings. "But as mighty thunderings, saying..." Now you've got this picture of these masses and masses of people. The voices, their voices cry out and there's like thunders. There's like this massive thing happening there. And they say one thing: "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." The God all-powerful. When you go and look at the book of Revelations, the God almighty and the God omnipotent is highlighted a lot in the book of Revelations, more than in any other book. And then it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." What we do when we do the will of God, it says that is preparation of Jesus coming. Then he said to me, "Write." This is now an angel appearing to John. "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." And now this is John, obviously, he gets the fright of his life. He just heard this massive, he's bionic or whatever, bisonic or whatever, ears opened up and he's, you know, he saw the picture and now he's just, you know, he's like a bit, this is too much for him. And this angel, he doesn't know really who it is that's standing in front of him, but his first thing is just he falls at the feet of this angel and then he worships him. He just doesn't know, but he just says, "Oh, look here, a good response now is just to like give myself over." And then the angel says to him, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren." And now listen to this: "who have the testimony of Jesus." So he says, "Don't worship me, because just as you, I also just have the testimony of Jesus. With your other brothers, with other Christians, believers, I, just like you, have the testimony of Jesus." And then he says, "Worship God." Don't worship me, worship God. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war." It's a massive picture of the moment when he started to worship God and he saw these things, then the heavens opened up and then he saw Jesus on the white horse. And Jesus had a specific name, the one who is faithful and true. Faithful and true. But right here in the middle, you know, when God starts to move in our lives, when the presence of God, when Jesus walks into your life, do you know what happens for us as humans? We love to worship things because it's easier. And you can see it right through scripture. You know, when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration and James and Peter and John and they up there, then suddenly Moses and Elijah appears. And then, you know, they get the fright of their life. You know, the first thing that Peter says, "Lord," because now God the Father opens the heavens up, because Moses and Elijah starts to talk about what Jesus has come to do. Because they represent the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. It says what Jesus came to do. So they've got this conversation. Now these other three guys, they're standing there and they're thinking, "Oh my chona, you know what? Oh, what's happening here?" And before they can have their second breath, God the Father opens up the heavens. There's only three times in scripture that God the Father spoke audibly. And the first one was at Jesus' baptism when he said, "You are my son in whom I'm well pleased." And the second time was here at the Mount of Transfiguration. When they were standing there and then God says something different. He says, "You are my son in whom I'm well pleased." And then he says to the disciples, "Hear him." Meaning he confirms the ministry of Jesus. First he affirms Jesus, says to him, "Who you are, I love you, I'm proud of you." And then the second time around he says to him, "Well, now you better listen to him because I come to put my stamp of approval. This is my son and you better listen to him." But you know, Peter's first reaction, just like all of us will do, just like Aaron with the golden calf, you know, when the presence of God is there, the people says, no, we don't want to worship God. So then we build something else because it's easier to worship that. Would you agree with me? So Peter says, Lord, let's build you a monument here. Let's build you a statue. Let's do something, you know, because this moment is too great. But our first reaction is always to do. Would you agree with me? Hello. And so many people say, well, it's difficult to worship God because we cannot see God. So let's rather worship our nice songs, or let's worship our church experience, or let's worship revelation, or let's worship the preacher and the nice sermons that they preach. Because so many times we talk even about church and we put church above Jesus. Are you with me? And so many people, especially in the charismatic church today, I was thinking about the other day and was just, I was challenged myself. Because I started to listen of how many times I speak about, in just ordinary conversations, about new CDs that have come out, or this new band that plays so nice, or this new book that you must read. But much of our conversation has lost just that power of talking about Jesus and especially about his word. You don't hear it often anymore. Somebody say, wow, you guys, I read John chapter 12 this morning, or John chapter 15, and it changed my life. And this is what this is the revelation God gave me because Jesus changed my life. But you know what we'll do more? We'll sort of worship somebody else's revelation. Oh, I read that book, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about just making Jesus center. Because when Jesus comes, you know, he cannot compete with anything else. And that's what this angel says. The angel says, look here, stop the bus. Don't worship me. I just have the testimony just like you, because the same testimony in your life is the same testimony in my life. I'm an angel, but you're a human being. Hello, are you with me tonight? Sometimes we haven't got a clue about what the presence of God means in our life. Let me tell you a story. You know, there was a lady that I knew from school. She got into Satanism, and she got trapped in lots of negative stuff. In the end, she went to Groendakkies. What is that? Green Roofs here in Cape Town. Okay, she went over to Green Roofs. She lost all the marbles. She didn't just lose the marbles. She lost all the piggies. She lost basically most of the stuff. Okay, she got really crazy. She almost lost it completely. You know, And then there were two nurses that prayed for her there, and she got an encounter with Jesus. She had a dream where Jesus appeared to her, and her life was changed, and she got to a sound mind. Within 2 weeks, she got out of there, born again, spirit-filled, on fire Christian for God. And then about 3 or 4 months later, I had a conversation with her. I met her here on campus, and she told me something. She said, do you know what? All those years that I was in Satanism, the one thing, or the one kind of person, type of person that I could not figure out was the spirit-filled, born-again believers. She said when she walked down the road, she could spot them for about 500 meters. She could spot them, those who were spirit-filled, who had a relationship with God. She said she even tried many times to put curses on them, but in the end she just stopped because the curses bounced back all the time. She said the only thing that really challenged her was that these Christians didn't know what the presence of God in their life was. They always walked down, always depressed, always discouraged. She said if it was like they had this massive thing on them, but they didn't have a clue. And that sort of disillusioned her. She thought, now what on earth? How could they not know what they have? You know, it's almost like having a bank account and you've got like $1 million in there, but you live like a street person because you don't know the password or the, you know, you've lost your card. You know? Now you're jumping up and down in front of the bank and saying, oh, if I could just have money, but the money's in there, you know, and you just need the part, you just need the little card. You just need to like, but now you have to live on the streets because, and unfortunately, that's how many Christians live. Hello. But the value of the presence of God in our lives is the most precious thing. The value of knowing Jesus and having the testimony of Jesus in our lives. Because the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, that Holy Spirit wants to quicken our lives, wants to be in your life, wants to be involved, wants to, you know, there at Johan's wedding yesterday, as we were worshiping, at the end we sang two worship songs, and it was just amazing. You know, there was this beautiful water and all that stuff, and the Holy Spirit just said to me, I must turn around. And as I was turning around, I saw a picture of Jesus coming on the water, standing on the water, and inviting me and inviting us to come and walk on water. And I was thinking, but I couldn't see his face because it was like this massive figure just in the spirit, standing there on the water and just extending his hand. And just like Jesus said to Peter, come to me. And that's the most amazing invitation, when God invites us to come out of our little boxes, out of our little stuff. Just in this last week, and I'm not saying that to be weird or to be funny, but I've said to God, God, I want to wake up in the morning again, but you must wake me up because I can't. I get the spirit of duvet all over me. Everything, you know, is just like too heavy, and then stuff, you know. And then the spirit of the snooze button and all that stuff, you know. We fight a lot against that, you know. But it's amazing. Clockwise, 13 minutes past 4, the Holy Spirit wakes me up. And then it's like, come on, Lord, your presence. But you know, if you're going to try hard for your quiet time and you're going to struggle so much because you must get something out of it, you know, we can't psych up the presence of God. The Holy Spirit comes to do something that makes you so hungry and thirsty that you say, I don't want this nonsense, this instant stuff anymore. I want God. I want Jesus. I want the testimony of Jesus in my life. That wherever I go, that people will just be touched. That it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's a shadow, whatever, people will just be healed. When we were there in India, we had an amazing experience. And it was quite a challenge for me because these people at this outreach, we came with a train and we were 4 hours late for the meeting. And not one of those people left the meeting. They all sat there waiting. Should have started at 7 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, huh? Kulain was about 11 o'clock, we preached there. And then we started to preach only. And I was thinking, these people are so hungry. And then suddenly what happened is God just started to move. You must ask him. Just these little boys, their deaf ears just popped open. God just moved, healed people, delivered people. We were just standing there. We were so tired. We were just so out of it. We just say, okay, Lord, I just want to do this. You do the ministry. Because sometimes when God starts to move, you're like clueless. You feel like, you feel the most unspiritual. Some people think, you know, they think the pastor can read your mind. Now, sometimes we can, you know, but. But that is really the exception. You know, sometimes we think these people up there are so spiritual. But you know what? The times when God moves the most powerful way, you just want to get out of the way because you realize you've got nothing to do with this. This is just raw Jesus. This is just like, you know, I think I told this story before, but there's a guy, he's coming to the pastor summit, Philip. He's the pastor there at Tikkies University. You know, one day I took him with and he was still a student. And so I was the one bringing the word, you know. One of Gavin Mitchell's churches here, and I spoke on the authority of God and the fact that of healing and all of that stuff, you know. And I said, well, God is going to heal people here. But you know, sometimes it comes out of self-righteousness because you think you've arrived and all of that stuff. So then the people lined up, they were standing in front. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to pray for them because I'm going to make a difference in their lives. You know, I'm the preacher, so all these other people just watch me, just look at me. I'm going to do it, you know, but sometimes we think stuff like that, very bad stuff, okay? So here I come to the first person, lay hands on him, nothing happens, you know? Come to the second person, the person almost passes out of the pain, you know? The third person, you know, then you just go like third person, fourth person, fifth person, no, you just go around and, you know, and then I realize, oh, my chuna, you know? And then God is just like sitting there and thinking, yeah, you try to do it in your own strength, you know? Here comes little Philip. Not little Philip, he's a tall Philip. But in any case, he prays for the first person. Kadoof, this person falls over. Second lady, she gets healed right there. She's got like a bent over back. She goes, kish, you know. Goes to the third person. They get healed like that, you know. And I'm thinking, was it the wrong hand? And I'm checking him, you know, and I'm laying this hand, you know. And as I'm praying, nothing is happening. And then the Holy Spirit says to me, go and do that. So I run, stand behind the curtain, and I say, okay, Lord, Jesus, you're the healer. I want to get out of the way. Because you know what? Sometimes we must get out of the way. And so here Philip prays and people get healed and they get slain and they get all of that stuff. And the Lord says, you intercede. Because I've chosen to use him today, not you. That was humbling. But you know, when Jesus moves, we must be ready that he can move through anybody. Let me tell you another story. Are you with me still tonight? The crowd there at the back, are you with me? There's a guy, Will Hart, that some of you have seen that Furious Love DVD. He's on that DVD. He's like a raw fanatic for Jesus, you know? And he tells a story that he was like this druid, got people with a black on, and he went to this little church. And so he came into the church, and he said, he still makes a joke of the pastor, because the pastor had a massive big nose, okay? He had a massive nose. And so the whole sermon, he's checking this nose. And he thinks, wow, this is a big nose. This guy's got a big nose. In the end, he imagines, you know, seeing the pastor lying in the bath and Jaws music playing with this massive nose sticking out in the water, you know. So, da-da-da-da-da-da. So that's what his mind is about all the time. You know, he's like really on another pluck. He's not with what's happening here. And this pastor is preaching out his heart. He's just checking this nose and he's thinking, Lord, he obviously stood last in the row with whatever, you know. But he must have a good smell and aroma thing. But in any case, but there must be something positive. That's probably what I thought. I'm just, you know, set the beginning on. But in any case, so at the end of this meeting, this pastor makes an altar call. And then Will says he finds himself right in front. He's standing there. He hasn't got a clue how he got there, but he's just there. The presence of God drew him. Now he says he doesn't know what's happening, but now this woman with the big nose comes to lay hands on him, and he falls. He doesn't know what comes, but he says it's like this power thing that presses him down, and just like a wave of fire, and kadoosh, he falls down. There he lies on the floor, and he can't get up. And they're praying for the other people, and he's just lying there. And he sort of says, yes, Jesus, you're here, but I'm clueless. After a couple of minutes, this woman comes, kicks him here in the side, and he says, son, why are you lying on the floor? Get up. There's work to be done. So he says, oh, okay. You know. So he gets up, that woman helps him, and now that woman takes him. And there's another guy standing there that wants prayer. So he goes over to him. He says, okay, now you, what you've received from Jesus right now. Now, he says he doesn't know whether he's even properly saved. He's not gone through the four spiritual laws. He's not, you know, done the five foundations or anything like that, you know. But he had an encounter with Jesus. Now, he says to him, now, what you have received here from Jesus, you go and pray for that man. So, he says, oh, my chona, you know. So, he goes over, and before he lays hands on this person, that guy gets slain as well. Kadoof. He gets such a shock that he also gets slain again. Goof. You know. He also lies, he's passed out, you know. And after a couple of minutes, the woman comes to him again, kicks him in the side and says, son, looks at him, he says, there's work to be done, you know. But the most amazing testimony is that is what this guy has been doing for the last 15 years. He just lays hands on anybody that he can find, wants to hands to be laid on, you know, not disrespectfully, but he just lays hands on people. And people get slain and people get a touch from God. And he says he's still clueless, but he knows he's received something from Jesus. And he's learned to give that away. Because the presence of God, the manifest presence of God in his life is the most precious thing to him. He says he doesn't always understand. He doesn't know, but he knows he's received something from God. And it's that one gift and he gives it away. He just imparts it to other people all across the world. So some of you have seen that movie. He lays hands on that lady boy there in China. And people get a touch from God. Because he just says, come on, church. What are we doing? The Christ in you. We always had a saying, you know, I don't know if some of you heard that, but you know, the Christ in you greets the Christ in me, or the Christ in me greets the Christ in you. Have you heard that saying? That's at a stage in the church, everybody greeted each other. It says, the Christ in me greets the Christ in you. And I was always thinking out, no, my Khuna, did he just say hello? I just got saved and I was like a bit confused. I was thinking, my Khuna, you know, what's happening? How does the Christ in me greet the Christ in you? I was clueless there at the beginning, you know, but later I understood what the people say. But people, the value of the presence of God, and that is what John understood. Don't worship the angels, don't, because God is faithful and true. But he says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, the prophetic, quickly, and that's what I believe God wants to release in our lives tonight. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. We think that the prophetic is somebody walking into your life and saying, this and this and this. God is, you know, you're going to have a baby in 3 months and his name is going to be Zerubbabel. And he is going to stand there for 13 years and then he's going to be raised up like a Joshua and he's going to go with the Midianites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and all that sites, you know, Jebusites and all the sites, and then he's going to, whatever. So we think that is the prophetic, but you know, when stuff talks about the future, it's mostly a word of wisdom. It's not a prophetic word. Prophetic word is to edify, exhort, and comfort to God's people. So when we have an encounter with Jesus, it's never condemning. It's never breaking down, oh, you fatty over there. You need to lose 10 kilograms before God is going to use you. But when you've lost 12 and a half kilograms, you're going to be in the Holy of Holies. And the Lord is saying that he's going to make the fat vanish. Whatever, you know. But you know, God never put shame on us or condemnation or accusation or fear or nonsense. Like, God always edifies us. You know, let me tell you another story. I'm just telling lots of stories tonight. Is that all right? When we were in India, you can ask Kulaini. He took a picture. While we were busy preaching the previous night, there's like 120, 130 pastors. And the scripture that God gives all the time is Isaiah 40 verse 31. It says, those who wait upon the Lord. And I believe that scripture is for some people here tonight. Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. What an amazing scripture. It says, there's a place where you can run. There's a place where you can fly. There's a place where you can do stuff. But you're not going to grow weary. You're not going to grow tired. Now, if you grow tired by doing the work of God, it means maybe we're doing it in the flesh. Hello. So I was preaching about the scripture and I really didn't like understand it. But the next morning, the Lord said to me that scripture again. He said, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. This beautiful picture of an eagle flying high above the storm. That's what an eagle does. When the storm comes, that eagle flies into the storm. And then it uses the storm to take it up. It locks its wings and then it goes up high above the storm. And then it talks about that eyes, the eyes of the prophetic, the ability to see and to know God's will. Because an eagle can see like for 2 kilometers away, far off, that there's a dusty or something running there. For 2 kilometers, and it can fly in at about 200 kilometers an hour to get its prey down there. But it's a lofty, single bird. So as I'm preaching about this, the next morning, God says again, share that scripture. Now we're preaching and you think it, you know. The next moment, an eagle comes. The door is open here, and all the pastors are facing me. And as I'm standing, an eagle comes to land right there in the door. Looks up. And just checks us out. And I'm sharing, and I stop and I say, people, God just confirms through a sign that that is what he wants to do in your life. Now, Kulain ran out, and he chased the eagle, and then he sat there, you know. And as we had this pastor's conference, there were 2 eagles flying there all the time above this venue as we're talking about God's word. Now, isn't that an amazing confirmation? You don't find lots of eagles in India. But this eagle came to sit right there in the door as we spoke about that scripture, confirming that God wants us to fly high above. And that's what God wants to do for some of us here. But that's the power of the prophetic, the ability to see. The ability to be encouraged, to walk in God, to be strengthened in the Spirit. Are you with me tonight? The last scripture. Listen to what Paul writes. Because Paul had an understanding in Ephesians and Colossians about this thing that is just amazing. About the Christ in us principle. He says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. He says, there's a riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is, now defines that. He says there's a mystery throughout the ages. It is Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now it says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect to Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And we haven't got time about that. But the principle of Christ with us, but more than that, Christ in us, is something that Paul writes about so much. He says, look here, I pray that Christ be formed in you. I pray for a strengthen in your inner man. But it's not a fleshly, feeding, emotional thing. It's when the presence of God comes and you begin to live the life of the resurrected Christ. But that is the mystery, because that Almighty God comes to say, I want to live inside of you. I want to take control of all of you. And as you surrender, you're going to begin to see me go not in you, but through you. You're going to start to leak Jesus wherever you go. And then wherever we go, whether you're driving in the car or whether you're sitting at work, the presence of God just begins to manifest, because you pray not say, Lord, be with me today. You say, thank you, God, that you're already with me. Thank you, Lord, that the Christ in me is the hope of glory. And there was a word tonight that hope talks about the anchor of your soul. That there's not an emotional up and down, but there's your life has been anchored. Doesn't matter what the storm is about, there's Jesus is in the boat. There's a hope that strengthens you. It's like an anchor of a boat. Doesn't matter how big the storm is. When Jesus is in the boat, nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing can separate us from him, because he's there. That was a good place to say amen. So Paul says, look, I labor and I pray for this one thing that you begin to understand, which is that mystery. Is the presence of God with you, but more than that, Christ that lives inside of you. But we have to get out of the flesh into the spirit. We have to be like that eagle that flies high above the storm. And God wants to give us prophetic sight. And Lucille spoke about it last week, you know, but so many people, so many Christians cannot be blessed by God, because there's always offense, there's always fear, there's always striving. It's a fleshly contention, because they cannot see, and therefore the prophetic cannot be released. But I strongly believe that that is one of the precious things that God has given us, especially this body of Christ, is the ability to see, the ability to follow and flow with the Holy Spirit, the ability to hear God's. And that's why if you're in this church, things will change all the time. We are not going to get stuck on, well, we were there 10 years ago. Why? Because Jesus said there, my bride is perfecting, my bride is making herself ready. So be ready for a roller coaster ride. No comfort, no just sitting back and relaxing, because God wants that same Christ that is in you, wants to leak out. Wherever you go, you are a blessing, because Jesus has made you a blessing. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? And once we begin to stand up in that authority, the world is going to change. And I've got a little bit of imagination, but these days when I walk around in the shopping mall, not that I walk there often, but when I walk around in other places, because there are lots of demons in the shopping malls, they say, buy me, all the time, you know. But, you know, when we walk around there, you know, because let me tell you, one of the biggest challenges for us in the church in the West is a consumer mentality. When we're in India, you must ask Elaine and these guys and Chris, those guys work 7 days a week nonstop. And then they save the whole year to get 1 day holiday. Christians included. Hello. They say, you've got a wonderful time because you've got holiday every weekend. You've got your yearly leave every weekend. So I was humbled. Because I was going there with being tired and thinking, oh, my chona, you know, it's the end of the year. And I'm not belittling that we are tired many times. But when you are tired, then you can come to God. You can come to the presence of God and say, Lord, I hunger and I thirst for you. I'm not going to sit in front of the TV now for a month and think that is going to sustain me or that is going to strengthen me. Switch off the television. Switch off that thing, you know. Just spend a little bit more time on the beach and meditate on the word of God and say, Lord, I'm hungry. Holy Spirit, do something inside of me, because I'm thirsting. I hunger for your righteousness. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. When you're thirsty, everything in your body responds to, I want water and I want it now. I'm going to die if I don't get it. If you're hungry, your stomach begins to tell you that you're hungry. It goes like, for some guys, much harder than ladies. I don't know, ladies hide this, but my men's stomach always like, you know. there's always like these signals from down there under saying, I want food, I am hungry. And then you find food. Ladies, if you want to bless the man, make him food, okay? Make him good food, okay? But you know, when you're hungry, you don't just sit around for 3 days waiting for something. People that are hungry are desperate. Would you agree with me? They're going to do something. They don't just die and kill over. But see, so we must be hungry and desperate for the presence of God, the testimony of Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight, some of us in this place are going to walk away from that condemnation and that nonsense. Because if Jesus is living inside of you, stop telling him that he cannot and that he has not already given you life in abundance on the cross. That's why the words that he used was, it is finished, it is completed. But sometimes, just like these Israelites, we go back in the wilderness all the time. But Christians, we cannot go back into the wilderness. We must get into the promised land, and now we must cross through the Jordan. There's going to be mighty giants, but one thing you know, like Moses understood, he said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, we rather stay behind. And so when you wake up tomorrow, just stop striving and trying to do all that stuff. And I'm really trusting that God is going to break some yokes here tonight. Where there's going to be a hunger and a thirst, not for structure or church or nice stuff or nice worship or nice this or nice revelation or nice fellowship. Those are all important. But a hunger and a thirst for the presence of God. Where God is the only one that can satisfy you inside. And I want to tell you, Jesus is ready to show himself to those who are hungry and thirsty. But we must draw near to him. And as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. As we open up our hearts. Because there's no wall, there's no thing, there's no veil, nothing. No demon, no whatever can keep you away from Jesus. Mark chapter 5, that man runs down to Jesus with the 7,000 demons inside of him. The people try to bind him and try to do all of that stuff. But when he comes to Jesus, the demons inside of him says, what have we got to do with you, Son of the Most High God? They testify. The demons testify of who Jesus is because they realize the testimony of Jesus. For some of us, the demons inside of us are going to begin to testify. Because Scripture says, well, the demons also know who God is and they also know the Word. But you know what? There's a place in Christ. Will you stand with me tonight? Because we're going to pray as the band is coming up. Band gou kan opkom. And tonight, I'm actually speaking a little bit more to older Christians, polished Christians, people that get so used to getting used to stuff. Because that's what God has challenged me with. You know, sometimes we sit in long meetings, we've got great discussions, we do all of lots of stuff, and we're so busy with stuff. But you know, then your little daughter comes and she shares a dream with you. She says to me, I don't know what happened, but I dreamt that I was sitting at a restaurant and there were lots of chauffeur people there. And everything was nice. Everybody was so busy serving and there were lots of stuff happening. And then when it got to the food was full of sand. And it didn't taste nice, she said. But you know, we were all nice enough, so we packed up our stuff and we didn't really complain, but then we went out. And then she said to me, Jesus wants to show himself again to us. And Jesus is hungry and passionate about his church. And some of us must quiet our heads, because even as you're standing here, you're just thinking about running out here and the fellowship that you're going to have and all of that stuff. Just be silent for a moment. Just focus for a moment. Because as we're standing here, all of heaven's attention, God's attention is towards you and I. God knows every thought, every desire, every fear, everything that you're passionate about. But you know, when we come to sit at the wedding feast of the Lamb, God gives us the best. No food with sand, no whatever. God gives Himself to us. Jesus comes to give Himself to us. He says, I am the bread. The Holy Spirit says, I am the living waters. When you drink of me, you will never thirst again. Whoa. You know, I don't want to be thirsty again. I don't want to be thirsty for the affirmation of people and the recognition of people and the things that they say. Oh, that's, you're a great church, whatever. And in the meantime, the whole world is desperate for Jesus out there. I want raw Jesus to show Himself. But first in my life and then through my life. And I want to encourage us tonight that God wants to reveal Himself. The manifest presence of God. Some of us here are so tired of trying and striving and saying, yes, God, I'm trying so hard and all that stuff. But when that little seed dies, then life comes. When you say, Lord, I cannot anymore. I just want to be honest. I just want to be real. Jesus, I want you, but I don't even know where to start. I want all of you to know God. Because we're stepping into eternity. Everything you're doing every day is very spiritual. The Spirit is always first. So Father, tonight, we come as your children. We don't come because we're slaves. We don't come because we want a miracle. We're not coming because we want a touch or an emotional hype. We're coming because we want you, Jesus. We want you, Father. And Lord, some of us, and I include myself, have been eating food with sand in and all that stuff because we get so busy with things that we do. But Lord, tonight, Holy Spirit, I pray that right now you'll work a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness in our lives. Lord, as we just yield to you tonight, Lord, some of our hearts have been hardened. We've been going up and down. Lord, it's been a tough year for many of us. Some of us, Lord, don't even know where to start following you anymore. We're just like desperate, Lord, just to survive. But Father, you know everything and all that's going on in our hearts. But tonight, Holy Spirit, we want you to lift us up. Tonight, Lord, I'm praying for the spirit of prophecy to be released in our midst, Lord, so that we can also speak your word when we encounter other people and start to edify them and exhort them and comfort them and build them up because we've met with Jesus. So I'm going to ask you tonight, I'm not going to ask you for your hands, but if you are here tonight and you need to get to know Jesus, maybe for the first time, then He's inviting you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to come and take your life as you give it to Him. As you turn from your old ways and you look Him in the eyes and He says, I'm going to make all things new right now in your life. But then maybe you're a Christian. You've been so involved. You're working very hard for God. And God is so blessed with you. He's so pleased with us for all that we do. But there's a frustration and there's a thing working in your life that you just want to say again, Lord, I just want to drink from that fresh water again. And you know, it's sort of almost like you're in a dead end at the moment. Everything you try, it just fails. It's not working. Your worship isn't working. Quiet time isn't working. Stuff that has worked suddenly doesn't work anymore. And it feels actually like the wheels are coming off a little bit. But the Holy Spirit is saying tonight that it's God designed. Because as a ministry, we're also there. We're asking God very big questions. Saying, Lord, if you said new wine, new wineskins, We're clueless. But thank you, Jesus. Right now, we're just following you. We're following your presence. So if God is speaking to you and you want to get to know Jesus, won't you quickly come right to the front? Or you want to make a recommitment to Jesus, not to church, not to worship, not to revelation, but to just encounter Jesus again. Will you just step out quickly? Maybe there's just one, maybe there's 100. I don't know. But Jesus is calling you. Won't you come out quickly right to the front? Anybody like that? Just say, that's me tonight. Thank you. Just come. Quickly come. Quickly come. Hallelujah. If God is saying tonight to you, stop playing church, stop playing religion, stop playing that, and He's calling you, just come. You know the Holy Spirit is calling you. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a zone supervisor or a pastor. Titles doesn't matter in the presence of God. Just when we respond to that call. For some of us, it's just the call to come higher with God. To say, Lord, I've been flapping my wings. Jesus, I want to fly high above. Don't want to try to figure it out in my mind all the time. I just want to start to flow with you. I just want to start to see you move, your presence, Lord, in my life and through my life. Lord, I walk away from those old stuff. And I can't, but I just walk to you, Jesus. I don't walk to formulas tonight. Don't walk to nice prayers. I walk to you, Jesus. Will you just sing that chorus, knowing you, Jesus, while people are coming to the front? Some people with storms in their lives right now, Lord. We speak to those storms to be quiet right now. Storms in the mind, storms in the emotions, storms in lives. Because Jesus, you're with us in the boat. Lord, we say tonight that we will worship no other thing. We don't know how to worship you, but teach us how to worship you in spirit and in truth tonight. I want us just to sing, all of us. Let's just sing that together as we just come to God.
You're my young, you're the best.
Let's just sing a new song to Him. You just close your eyes. You just respond to Jesus as we just sing a new song. Sing of the Spirit. We're just spending some time. We're not in a rush in the presence of God. If you can sing in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit.
Word to share with the church, and while Seals was praying earlier on where God should just melt you, and I feel that there are some people here that are still holding their form as a candle, and I just feel like God says, you know, you should allow Him to melt you and to reform you. So just allow Him to change you here tonight. So keep that in mind. You know, are you going to stand tall in the world, or are you going to allow to be humble in front of God? What's more important for you?
I believe that the Lord wants to, at this season, and as many of us are going to just enjoy some off time and go away on holiday. Many of our friends have already left. But I really believe that the Lord wants to, in this season, bring us to a place where when we come back next year, we will actually be flying like that eagle. But it's particularly in this season that many people stray from God. And I want to tell you, don't be distracted by this season, because the Lord actually wants to do an amazing thing in your life. And He wants to bring you back from this season instead of being sort of nowhere. Spiritually, He actually wants to bring you back like an eagle, starting the next year very, very strongly. And so I believe there's a key to receiving that strength from God to rise up and be strengthened like the eagle. And that is that it refers to that dream that Sia's little girl had about eating sand in your food. Is that there are going to be times when you are going to be wanting to do something sort of like distracting, you know, just to do something lame. Nothing wrong. It's nothing wrong, but it's just something that is like a meal with sand. And you're going to become aware of the fact that you're eating a meal with sand. It's not going to satisfy you. And in that time, you're going to experience a drawing from God. And He's going to do it sovereignly at a time that you might not be expecting it. But it will be sort of something will go before it. Will be like I'm eating sand feeling while you're doing something. Maybe you'll be reading a book, or maybe you'll be watching TV, or maybe you'll be lying at the beach just having fun or whatever. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But in that thing, it's like God's going to make you aware that you, at that time, eating, but it's a mixture. And it's not going to satisfy you. You're going to suddenly become aware this thing is not satisfying me. And there's going to be a drawing on the inside from the Father. And this is when He's going to want to have deep communion with you. And I want you to just know that when this happens, respond to God. Because he's going to touch you. It happened to me in this week. It was the most powerful thing that has happened to me in a long time. And I know it's something that God wants to do for all of us. You know, he's got his times when he wants to spend really intimate time, where he really wants to touch us. And he foreordains those times. There are times when we, and this is just, I just want to add to what C.S. was saying, that sometimes, you know, you get at the end of yourself, you know, you're tired of, you know, your quiet times aren't working, these things aren't working, the way that you've been doing things aren't working. It doesn't mean stop reading the word and stop speaking to God. It doesn't mean that at all. But when you come to that time when you're busy with something and you're experiencing just this, suddenly this, no man, this is just boring, you know? Whereas before, it might not have been boring, but suddenly it's just boring to you. You just become aware, but I'm eating sand. And there's a drawing. Respond to that. Just don't quench the Holy Spirit in that time. Take yourself aside because God wants to touch you in your most deepest, innermost place. And he wants to refresh you. Nothing can refresh you like a touch from God. He wants to, at that time, pour himself into you. All I'm saying is don't, at that time, quench the Holy Spirit, and he wants to do it for all of us, and you'll never be the same. But he wants to remove that sand out of our diet. He wants to bring us back filled with him, with our wings strong, with everything inside of us just loving to be in Christ and Christ in us.
Yes, I just want to confirm that word. In the beginning tonight, just before we started sharing now, Lord, I was working at a drug rehab for 2 months before this now, and we always used to do this one thing about day planning, and we used to have this tin with a lot of rocks and sand, and we had it in a bowl, and then we have the little tin, and you have to fit the rocks in the sand, and then you ask the patients, how do you get it in there? And the Lord was showing this to me earlier tonight, and I was like, Lord, why are you showing this me, this little tin? What's that to do with church anyway? And now when she was sharing, the way you get it in is you have to put the big rocks in first. And just before she started sharing, the Lord said, focus on the big rocks. Focus on the big rocks. And I was like, Lord, okay, but the sand's also there. It fills up the gaps. And the Lord said, yes, but if you put in the sand first, you can't get the rocks first. You can't get the rock and they don't fit. And then the Lord just like, it's just like the Lord said, like, the sand will come and there is stuff that you do that's fun, and there's stuff like going to the beach, and that's just also, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the fun stuff, and that we enjoy this earth, and we enjoy what God has given us and our friends and everything. But if you put in the sand first, the rocks won't fit. And it's not a law. It's not something that you have to do, like, I have to spend now. If I don't spend an hour quiet time, I'm going to backslide or whatever, whatever. But what Lissel said, like, the Lord will draw you. But just remember, like, in this time, especially for me, I know ours, this is a time where I also would, like, forget and neglect. And, like, just, the Lord is saying, like, remember the rocks, because those are the things that will fill up your day, and that's the big things, like the Lord's present. And it's not something where you go sit and you have a relation from the Lord, like sitting there and it's this massive revelation, because a lot of us feel in this time, as I said, that it's a quiet time and you sit with the Lord and it's not that great, and everything's a wrestle. And the Lord just says, just come and sit, just come and eat my word, just read, just start reading. It doesn't matter where you read, just read, because he's faithful. He will fill the rocks. It's the rocks.
Thank you, Lord. So we just respond to that. We say, Lord, Holy Spirit, show us when there's sand in our diet. What are we going to do right now, Lord? We just ask, Holy Spirit, that you will strengthen every person here tonight. Lord, we step away from that sandy stuff. We step away from that stuff that distracts us. All the stuff around Jesus, Lord. But we come to sit at the table to come and eat from you. We come to drink with you. There's some people here tonight that need restoration. You feel like you're a half a person. You're going to know exactly what I talk about now. You just feel like you're not even sure who you are. And the Lord wants to just show you tonight, just in the way that He can do. So I wonder if you need prayer in that area specifically, that you also come to the front. And also, if you need healing tonight, physical healing, Jesus is the healer. He's a savior here tonight. He's the healer. And he wants to deliver us in his presence. So we mustn't rush or try. If you want to talk, you can go and talk outside and have fellowship outside. But tonight, God is going to change some people's lives. And I'm going to pray right now. Something that the Lord showed me I must do is just to ask God for the spirit of prophecy to be released. And if some of the leaders, if you can come and pray for the people here up front. But we're not going to pray long prayers tonight. We're going to just ask Jesus, be unleashed over this person's life. Jesus, you come and do the work. The work is not going to be done by our fancy prayers, our fancy worship, or our fancy long prayers. Sometimes we want to pray so long and counsel God. But we're going to pray that our hands and our mouths will just be Jesus tonight. And then I'm going to ask you to do something just as that same principle. If once you've been prayed for, and people there at the back, I want everybody to start to pray for people. Just as you feel comfortable, you don't need to be put on a spot. But we're going to ask God for His word of encouragement over each other. That's called the spirit of prophecy, to edify, to exhort, to build up, to comfort. So as you feel the boldness, just where you stand, ask the person permission if you can pray for them. But we're going to just start to minister to each other by the Holy Spirit. Start to encourage other, and you just start to build what sometimes you've got a need, and then you're praying to the need of the other person. As we're going to, everybody, we want everybody in this place to be prayed for. Amen. You can pray for somebody, and somebody's going to pray for you. We're not going to flatter people, but we're going to just commit people to the testimony of Jesus and ask that Christ be formed in them. So, Lord, tonight, as we've come here with many needs, right now, Lord, we thank you for strength and encouragement in you and in your presence. And Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll manifest yourself as the spirit of prophecy tonight. That you'll speak comfort and edification. Lord, some of us are tired. Some of us are not focused anymore, Lord. Some of us just try so hard. But tonight, we thank you for your comfort. We thank you for your edification. We thank you for your words. And Holy Spirit, we commit ourselves now to the spirit of prophecy. Lord, let the testimony of Jesus, of His saving, His healing, and His deliverance power be known right now. There's some of you that need intense comfort. You are just so lonely, depressed. You just need the comfort of God. You just feel like you feel abused, you feel misused. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you tonight, you need His comfort. He wants to comfort you. So Father, right now we just release your healing power, Lord. And we thank you for your touch tonight.